An energy company involved in the controversial extraction of shale gas in the UK, also known as fracking, says it thinks the UK is sitting on far more of the gas than it had previously thought. iGas now believes its licensed area in the northwest of England may hold up to 170 trillion cubic feet of gas. That's nearly 20 times higher than the firm's previous estimate. The company's chief executive, Andrew Austin, says the upgrading is down to more information becoming available.
We have a number of previous boreholes that have been drilled across this area and an amount of seismic data that's been acquired over many years, plus our own boreholes that we've drilled. And looking at all that information together, we're now able to say that we may have up to 170 trillion cubic feet across those areas of the northwest of England.
And iGas also believes that by finding more shale gas, between 25 and 40,000 direct jobs could be created in the industry over the next 20 years. And a lot more jobs in the wider chemical and gas link businesses. So this is really, really a big matter. We've talked on Drive before about the environmental debate, and I guess we'll return to that in the weeks ahead. But let's look at the financial side for the moment in the company of Dominic Laurie. Better have a quick run through shale gas and fracking, Dominic, first.
Fracking is hydraulic fracturing. It's short for that, Peter. It refers to a process where you basically inject a mixture of water, sand and chemicals down a well into a rock formation. That rock formation then splinters a little bit, if you want, and creates fissures. And the mixture goes into those fissures, and the idea is that it kind of sucks the gas out and puts it back up the well again. So it's a way of getting gas out of the ground, which doesn't involve conventional means.
Okay, we keep on hearing about the subject. It's important economically in particular, isn't it? Because frankly, if we could start in this country getting a domestic source of gas, that would make a big difference.
We have something called the energy gap, Peter. So towards the end of this decade, basically our current sources of energy just start to run out for various reasons. 90% of our energy needs are met by electricity needs are met by a mixture of coal, gas and nuclear power. Coal is becoming increasingly unusable because of environmental concerns. Well, gas, our conventional gas reserves in places like the North Sea are depleting. Nuclear, well, our current batch of nuclear power stations are aging and will have to go offline. And as we've heard about on this programme a lot, there is not agreement on how to bring a new batch of nuclear power stations up and running. Renewable energy, which is less than 10% at the moment, just isn't growing fast enough, nearly fast enough, to meet that gap. So that's why any technique is important to find new energy.
Okay, and the current situation, as you say, is we just haven't got enough energy to keep going. So this is a critical matter.
Yeah, right? And therefore, let's look at the current projects. There's Quadrilla, which has drilled wells near Blackpool in Lancashire. It's like iGas says, it has vast reserves. It depends, what's recoverable from those reserves, and it's delayed its fracking sort of commercially until 2014 to carry out environmental impact assessments, and iGas as well. They're the only two real big deposits at the moment that it's considered possibly to be commercially viable.
Thank you, Dom.
Let's speak now to Dr. James Verdon, who's an applied geophysicist and a fellow at the Natural Environment Research Council based at the University of Bristol. And Phelim McAleer has made a documentary called Frack Nation about the shale gas industry in the United States, which has been revolutionised by shale gas extraction. Dr. James Verdon, thanks for joining us, first of all. This figure from iGas, I mean, what does it actually mean in terms of households with energy? What does it mean?
Well, I agree that a figure of 200 or 170 TCF may not mean a lot to the average person.
Yeah, exactly. But what does it mean to me?
Put in context, the UK uses something like 2 to 3 TCF.
Trillion cubic feet.
So that's 100 years worth of the country's total use. Assuming, of course, that can all be getting out of the ground, which obviously there are recovery factors. So obviously people say sort of 20, 30% of that you can actually get at.
So if we got at it, I mean, that's what you're saying. It could be 100 years of energy down there.
Well, probably slightly less than that, because as you say, recovery factors mean you only get a certain portion out. But then I guess to bear in mind, this is only one part of the iGas number just provided is only an area of something like 300 square miles. So this is only a small part of the country which has been looked at. So there's potentially more than stated in this report.
And people do have their concerns about it. Why is it so controversial?
Well, there have been a lot of concerns about environmental issues. A lot of them, frankly, are overblown by kind of activists. But there have been a handful of incidences with methane contamination of groundwater, and the case up in Blackpool where a small earthquake was triggered. Put in context, there are sort of 20 or 30 earthquakes of similar size occurring naturally in the UK every year. So. The headlines can be made to look pretty scary. Put in context, things are somewhat less controversial.
Let's speak to Phelan McAleer, who has mentioned made this documentary called Frack Nation. And you looked specifically, didn't you, on the kind of impact of this on certain areas of the United States. What did you find?
It's overwhelmingly positive. You know, there are people now here in America called shillionaires. And their only thing they ever did was own 100 acres of land. And the gas that's coming out, they get a signing on fee and then they get a royalty check every month. And they become millionaires because of the benefits. But then you have people, you had a lot of rural areas that were losing young people to the cities, basically rural areas full of old people. Now they're booming, now they're buzzing. The main complaint in these areas is that there's too much traffic, there's too much industry. People, it's hard to get a hotel room, it's hard to get a table in a restaurant. Hotels, like the town of Williamsport, 3 new hotels have been built this year to meet the demand for just people doing business. It really has kept America alive during this recession.
So very serious economic benefits. I mean, the one thing that's striking is, of course, America has vast swathes of unpopulated areas. Isn't it easier to do it in America than perhaps in the UK?
Well, funny, a lot of the shale gas is close to populated areas. The Marcellus Shale comes right through Pennsylvania, around Philadelphia, up through upstate New York, right next to New York. Then you've got the Utica Shale, which is in Ohio, another highly populated place. Texas, some of the biggest cities in America are in Texas, and that's the shale is there. Now, it's in other places that's not so populated, so it's all over. But people are living very, very happily close to large-scale shale extraction. It's just brought an economic boom, and, I think your earlier guess was correct. Much of the environmental concern has been overblown, hyped, exaggerated. There's no evidence of it ever contaminating or poisoning water, although they keep saying that the next village is the one that's going to prove it. And when the science comes in, it's just not there.
James, also, we talk about the problems of extracting it and how much there could potentially be there. Could we, if they could extract it, if it was safe, etc., they were allowed to do so, could we then export this gas or not?
Certainly, there's potential for export, yes, depending on essentially what is decided to do with it. But there is certainly that potential. What we're seeing in the US is that the US, this once energy-hungry country that was going to war in the Middle East to secure its energy supplies, is starting to become self-sufficient in energy. So actually planned LNG import terminals, companies are starting to apply to turn these into export terminals simply to try and sell their gas on the international market because, believe it or not, America is starting to have too much energy.
That seems extraordinary, Phelan. That's something that you've seen echoed in America, is it?
Yeah, I mean, when I first started looking at this a few years ago, the price of gas was something like $13 or $14 a unit. Now it's $3 a unit. I mean, the biggest problem in America is gas companies are going bust because they've created so much energy, energy so cheap that they can't make a profit, that fracking's not profitable anymore because the price of gas is so low. So they're looking to export it. Now there's problems with politics in that. But it's a success story all the way down, except that it's been too successful, and oil and gas companies have made energy so cheap. And what's happening too is energy-intensive manufacturing, like fertilizer and chemical industries, are coming back to America for the first time because they've got some of the cheapest electricity on the planet.
Do you think this is the death of the renewable energy industry if fracking does come to light in the scale to which you describe? I mean, it would just be too expensive compared to cheap gas,
wouldn't
it?
I think this is one of the main reasons why the environmental movement have such a problem with fracking. It will mean the end of the renewable energy movement. Renewable energy is expensive at the best of times, but so are other types of energies, except now they've produced this shale gas and shale oil. I mean, North Dakota, a state with a few hundred thousand people in it, if North Dakota was an OPEC country, it would be the fourth largest OPEC country. That's how much oil it produces every day. So we're looking at a glut of energy, and we're looking at the end of renewables, and that doesn't make environmentalists very happy.
Ophelia, thanks very much. Just quickly, Dr. James Verdon, what does it mean for prices for the average household? Does it mean they come down?
That's difficult to say because, unlike the US, there is the potential in the UK for exporting. So gas produced in the UK can be sold across Europe. So unless the rest of Europe also produces similar volumes of shale gas, you can't say for sure that prices will come down. But obviously the corollary of that is if prices don't particularly come down, then you've got British companies producing British gas to be sold at high prices across Europe, which means a lot of business and a lot of tax money for the Exchequer.
Dr. James Verdon as well. Thank you both. Thank you.
Yeah, that's it from us for this evening. Thank you for your company. Five Live Sport coming up next with Mr. Chapman, of course, and Freddie at 7:30. But from us, a good night. We'll be back same time tomorrow. It's nearly 7 o'clock.